Into Germany, the business podcast from the heart of Europe.
German and European companies need to develop a technological advantage by seeing more expensive energy, not as a disadvantage over the next 5 to 10 years. Instead, they should become so technologically advanced that they can more than make up for that by being ahead of the curve on higher energy costs.
Hello and welcome to Into Germany, the German business podcast brought to you by Germany's international business promotion agency, Germany Trade and Invest. I'm Kelly O'Brien. Opening this edition was Marcel Fratscher, the president of the German Institute of Economic Research. He was speaking about the opportunities for companies presented by Germany's transition to green energy. The Energiewende, as it's known in German, aims to completely phase out fossil fuels by the year 2045. In the next 6 years alone, the target is to use renewable sources, primarily wind and solar power, to produce 80% of all electricity consumed in Germany. But the transition to green power grids is costly. The price tag will be 1.1 trillion euros, according to one estimate. So can the Energiewende really be an advantage for Germany as a business location? That's the question we'll explore later in the podcast with Marco Nix, the man in charge of finances at power grid operator 50Hertz. But first, let's look at a company that came to Germany in part because of the growing availability of clean energy. Nicolas Steinbacher is the Senior Director for Strategy and Corporate Development for the Swedish company Northvolt in Germany. It's building a giant factory for batteries for electric cars in the northern German city of Heide. The 4.5 billion euro facility will produce batteries with renewable energy and is slated to create 3,000 new jobs. Nicholas, Northvolt specifically came to the region north of Hamburg because of its access to energy produced by offshore wind farms. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little more about Northvolt?
Yeah, so Northvolt is, a pretty unique company, starting with its mission. When Northvolt was founded in 2016 by Peter Carlson, formerly working for Tesla, with a big mission to really bring green batteries to Europe. No? So the idea was actually that if the electromobility really hits the market, then Europe can just not sit there and buy batteries only from the Asian part of the world. So Europe needs to have their own supply chain to build everything. So the Northvolt company was founded around a much bigger vision and mission to really solve a problem and to tackle that problem together with that company. And what makes us like different is that we put a lot of effort really making batteries green. So that means that we do not only want to make it a green production with renewable energies, we really think the whole battery value chain in a closed loop environment. That means that we are also looking into cathode active material production, the battery cell manufacturing for sure, but then also the recycling of the battery cells so that we can use recycled batteries for producing cathode active material production afterwards. And that makes it very sustainable if you have a closed loop concept.
So your main market will be German automakers who want to become less dependent on Asia for car batteries.
Yeah. So we have three main areas of business, which is for sure automotive for electromobility. Then it's the whole topic of energy storages, so enabling the energy transition, enable green grids, actually. And the third one is to give battery solutions to industrial customers, for instance, mine vehicles or other industrial vehicles, which are like special requirements in terms of the battery.
Your company produces lithium-ion batteries on green grids that have a dramatically lower carbon footprint than batteries produced using fossil fuels. Tell us more about green grids.
When a green grid actually consists out of a lot of production of renewable energy, so that the share of renewable energy in electrons in the grid as high as possible. So this is also why we are locating our factories, our battery factories, in only green grids, where there is even like surpluses of energy in the grid, so that the grid cannot even take away all the renewable energy produced in that sector. That's the case for Aleftio, our first gigafactory, but it's also the case for our gigafactory we are placing in Germany in the region of Heide.
Another factor for your company deciding on Germany was that you had a lot of customers here already, right? The car companies.
a huge group of partners Northvolt already have in terms of customers is located in Germany. So a lot of premium customers from the German automotive industry. So we want to be close to our customers, being customer centric. But it's also, as you mentioned, about the energy. So let me start with this. The German government has kind of decided to do a very ambitious energy transition, right? So it really starts with the right mindset in order to shift things in the world in terms of how we produce new products, green tech products. How do we handle the topic of green electricity and decarbonization? It first starts with a mindset. So the German government has this mindset. And then we looked into, okay, what regions are actually like exceptionally performing well in this renewable energy strategy. And that was Schleswig-Holstein in the very north to make sure that the energy production in Germany is even above target. And that is exactly the same aspiration we have at Northvolt to build the greenest battery in the world. And that fit very well together with our strategy.
What about the cooperation you received from the German authorities in getting permission and funding for the Gigafactory? There is a perception that German bureaucracy is not fast enough to meet the huge demands and tight deadlines of the energy transition.
What we have experienced as Northvolt is a very close partnership with all levels of authorities. If it's the Federal Republic of Germany with the Ministry of Economic Affairs and Climate, but also the state of Schleswig-Holstein and local municipalities. So there was always the same will and a trustful partnership to make things happen. So that I can really say. Then, of course, in Germany, you have certain topics where you could be a little bit faster in terms of digitalization of processes, cutting processes in a certain way, right? But I also think that if you work together very closely with authorities and the regulators, then you could also bring in your ideas as a company to make things faster. And I think sometimes it's also like a partnership to make things happen together. And this worked very well in our case. And I can just say to other investors that it's like going faster, not only demanding things, but really working together and just fixing some things very pragmatically.
So do you envision other foreign companies being attracted to Germany because of its rapidly developing green energy infrastructure?
I think green energy is the start for everything, but you need to place a lot of innovation around how to package battery cells, how to maneuver the energy transition, how you use digital solutions to make it happen. I think for all players who are willing to create or produce green products, being located in the green tech industry, so-called, I think Germany is a very interesting potential target as a country. However, you need to look at, okay, where is actually the energy existent? Where can you connect to energy? And then there is also ecosystems which can be built around. So I can only say that from my point of view, a huge competitor factor in the end is if you're able as a municipality or as a state to build out renewable energy so that investors can come and really connect to this renewable assets and then also can promise their customers a true green product. So that is something what is absolutely necessary.
Nicolas, skeptics doubt that Germany will be able to meet its ambitious green energy goals. As your business strategy revolves around sourcing green energy, what is your view?
I always ask about the alternative, right? So I think we all see that the climate change is hitting and that there is a lot of things which are already, which you can already see in terms of droughts, in terms of the climate changing. It's getting more warm. So the question is, do we really have an alternative? It's more about the question, what needs to be in place to get to that goal and make it happen, right? And therefore, for sure, there is measures which you need to look at. How do you balance the grid in terms of energy storage solutions? How do you use digitalization? How do you use innovative solutions to kind of use battery electric vehicles to store energy in the night or something? So it is a lot about innovation. And I think if you really pull the innovation and the willingness of German engineers to excel in these kind of things, then you can reach it. But the most important thing is that you have the mindset and that you think that this is possible and that you're driving things in a so-called self-fulfilling prophecy direction. That it means like, okay, we get everything in place and then we make it happen. If you're just very destructive and always searching for the reasons why this cannot happen, then of course it will not happen. So I'm really like a big supporter of understanding the problem and then understanding what and defining measures which make it happen.
That uplifting notion is a good place to conclude this portion of the podcast. Thanks very much, Nicolas Steinbacher, Senior Director of Strategy and Corporate Development at Swedish battery maker Northvolt, which is breaking ground on a gigafactory in northern Germany. It will be the company's third gigafactory and produce enough batteries to power 1 million electric cars each year. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with the CFO of one of Germany's electrical grid operators, 50Hertz. He'll provide his input on the business argument for Germany's Energiewende. But first, let's look at some of the stories making headlines on Germany's business scene. Billion euro boost. US software colossus Microsoft says it will spend more than 3 billion euros on its artificial intelligence business in Germany. The investment is to be made in the coming 2 years. It's the largest sum ever allocated by the company to Germany in Microsoft's 40 years of doing business there. Germany ranks second in the world in terms of usage of AI by organizations and is the second most important developer of AI applications in Europe. But the country only ranks 11th in AI capacity. Smartphone surge. German Digital Industry Association Bitkom predicts that German smartphone business will reach a record 38.9 billion euros in 2024. Bitkom says that growth is being driven by investments in network infrastructure, which will be worth 2.4 billion euros in the coming year, and increasing turnover in mobile telecommunication services. The group also notes smartphones are increasingly making other electronic devices obsolete, with roughly two-thirds of users having dispensed with their digital cameras and alarm clocks. Relaxed requirements. Germany has introduced new legislation to modernize German residence law. This will make it easier for qualified non-EU professionals who wish to live and work in the country. Relaxed requirements for the EU Blue Card have been in place since November 2023. The new support measures mainly focus on the recognition of foreign professional qualifications. German Minister for Economic Affairs and Climate Action Robert Habeck said the changes will secure a strong position for European industry among its global competition. Green Goal. Germany is now on course to realize its ambitious goals regarding carbon dioxide emissions. CO2 emissions in Europe's largest economy dropped 10.1% in 2023, the largest decrease since 1990. That's according to data from Germany's Federal Environmental Agency. Germany emitted 673 million tons of greenhouse gases in 2023, 76 million tons less than the previous year. Extrapolated into the future, the decrease would mean that Germany would be able to achieve its aim of lowering CO2 emissions by 65% of 1990 levels by the end of this decade. And finally, strong start. A quartet of promising startups from various corners of Germany began 2024 with financing rounds of 80 million euros or more. The largest of the VC deals, 270 million euros, was landed by Berlin telecommunications company Everfone. There were also major investments in Karlsruhe synthetic fuels firm Ineritech, Munich electric vehicle subscription company Finn, and portable battery systems provider Instagrid from Stuttgart. And that brings us back to power grids and the case for green energy as an advantage for business in Germany. The country's world-class industrial and manufacturing sectors were built around fossil fuels. One of the key legacies is an energy logistics network that features massive power plants located close to areas with large energy needs, such as factories and major cities. The electricity grid is decentralized and able to deliver more or less power to meet demand. But Germany's old electric grid is far less suitable for meeting the requirements of clean energy. One reason is the logistics of transporting electricity over long distances. Germany's renewable energy from wind turbines is produced in the north, offshore and close to the coasts. The major centres of production are in the south and west. That is why the pressure is on Germany's handful of electrical grid operators to expand capacity. The lion's share of the cost of the transition to clean energy, in fact nearly 700 billion euros, will go toward expanding and linking Germany's grids. The biggest project? A giant autobahn for electricity, slated to begin transmissions from wind turbines in the north to customers in the south in only 3 years. So let's bring in Marco Nix, Chief Financial Officer at grid operator 50Hertz. The company provides electricity for 18 million Germans in the north and east of the country through over 10,000 kilometres of power lines. Their goal? To convert fully to green electricity in only 8 years. Marco, so 50Hertz is going for a 100% green grid, and your company is key to accessing wind power in the sea basins in the north.
In Germany, there are 4 transmission grid operators active in the electricity sector. And what differs us is on one hand that the share of renewables, which we are transporting in our grid, is already on a remarkable size. It consists of 72% measured in the consumption in our grid. That's already that what we are transporting year by year. So that's quite advanced compared to our peers. The second one is that we are the only transmission system operator who is active in both seabasins. In the Baltic Sea, where we already connected 1.5 gigawatt of offshore wind, and in the North Sea, where we are going to connect 10 additional gigawatts offshore wind.
So your company is at the start of the supply chain, transporting all that wind energy from the north, where presumably more renewable energy is produced than is needed.
We are covering 20% of the inhabitants in Germany. And that's, as a rule of thumb, valuable for the transmission, for the consumption as well. But the production is, for the time being, bigger and it's still growing. We are facing relatively high amounts of renewables further growing. That needs to be integrated in the grid. And that's a huge transformation task for the entire system. So we do see different kind of production, more spread production, but higher transport distances, and that requires a sufficient infrastructure. That's one of our main tasks to provide it. And secondly, of course, to cope with the higher volatility between the consumption and production in a future system.
There are over 10,000 kilometers of new power lines needed in Germany. How much of that new construction will you be responsible for at 50Hertz? And what else is required to transport electricity over those vast distances?
There are in total in Germany being foreseen extension of the grid by around 12,000 kilometers. We ourselves are operating a system of 10,000 kilometers, and 4,000 of the new ones are in our grid zone. So there's around a 40% increase of the total grid length in measured in kilometers. In capacities, it's even more. That's one of the major tasks where we need to invest in. And the second is, of course, that's been said, due to the fact that the transportation distances become bigger, we are going away from the closely meshed grid in the AC world, where you usually have 80 kilometers transport distances before you have in-feed or off-take, to the big overlay grid, the DC grid. And that's usually an end-to-end point connection, which contains of converter station, which convert from AC to DC, then big transportation distances, and then convert back, that this can be consumed there. And a third element to be named, these are active steering things like power electronics in the grid, which enables us to steer to some extent load flow to make sure that we really pass the electrons down to the load centers in the south.
In the past, there has been criticism that Germany's renewable energy policy was uncoordinated. For example, that solar cells and wind turbines were promoted when grid operators had no way to handle the extra electricity.
Yeah, of course, the transformation task is the one which we need to do commonly. On one hand, we need to trust that we set together with the politicians the right incentives to invest. That's a prerequisite, and we are doing our best that the business case of the wind developer, for instance, is a good one. So what means we provide sufficient infrastructure that they have no restriction in the grid. That's the main task we are doing. Furthermore, we are giving some advertisement in that regards on both sides for industrial player, which put new consumption centers, for instance, in that area, and for wind farm operators as well on land, for instance, or photovoltaic operators on land to make it a little bit easier for them to have access to the grid. That's what we are doing. And what gives us confidence is a little bit history, I would say. With an eye to 2013, the amount of renewables was at 38% measured in the consumption over a year. We are now at 72. And if you linearly prolong that, you land at 100% in 32. But of course, there are more mature plans behind taking all the developments of offshore wind, onshore wind, and photovoltaic into account. And we check the maturity of these projects, synchronize that with our grid development so that there is a kind of likelihood that we are landing there, and that gives us confidence.
German policymakers are making the case that in the long run, Germany's green energy grids are going to be a boon for industrial investors because renewables will become cheaper than fossil fuels. On the other hand, industrial lobby groups say that the costs of energy are so exorbitant they could force investors to other countries. So which view is correct?
Yeah, the answer is multiple, I would say. It's not to neglect that we are now in a transformation journey and currently paying the old system to some extent and a new system at the same time. And that's, of course, a question of affordability, as this is something industry is suffering from. No doubt on that. But with an eye on the future, the question is, what are the costs of opportunities? And the system today has been built mid of the 70s, coming from the oil crisis, with high investments in nuclears and high investment in fossil-fueled power plants. They are quite centralized being located. And in Germany, both are gone. And now the question is, what are the alternatives? And to be honest, there are not that many, but even if you stick to one and taking the nuclears, for instance, and compared to renewable energy system, nukes are not more commercially advanced than renewables. The cost of the system will change. So the pure renewable production itself will be rather cheap. It's almost zero. There are no residual costs once this has been erected. But that's been said, the upfront investment costs are significantly higher, not on the renewable energy source itself. So the production facility is not necessarily more expensive, but the system costs are. As you usually need to have backups, for instance, for a megawatt installed of renewables, as you do not have 100% load hours there. And you need to have a kind of backup once this is not up and running. That's fair to say. And we do believe that this could turn out in a kind of positioning, which is then a balanced one over time, which gives security for the industry and is not more expensive than an conventional system as of today.
That's an encouraging assessment about costs coming from a chief financial officer. Before we go, Marco, could you please tell us what international companies interested in expanding to Germany should know about green energy here?
I think German energy sector is one of the most open compared to other countries in Europe. And our example is a good one, as our mother company is a Belgian-based holding company, which is listed on a BELPEX 20, so comparable to DAX 30. And this is giving an idea how open Germany is in attracting foreign capital on one hand and in connecting to other countries. And that's something we are forcing as well, like the discussion which we are facing around the Baltic Sea leadership, that we try to connect ourselves with other European countries to, on one hand, increase security of supply, secondly, get access to renewable energy sources in these countries which might have access of that, and thirdly, have a meshed grid to enable a kind of European market on electricity. And that requires quite a lot of connections to other countries. And from a technical side, we do have it since a couple of decades. as at least the 50 hertz is a common frequency in the Western European grid. And that's something we all are obliged to hold all the time. And that requires some kind of interaction minimum. And of course, we are pushing all the guys to have more than this, as we do see that as a welfare creation for entire Europe.
Thanks for that, Marco Nix, Chief Financial Officer at Germany's grid operator 50 Hertz, and also, I should say, CFO at 50 Hertz's holding company that he just mentioned, Elia Grid International. Before we say goodbye, here's a look at how Germany works. As Marco Nix said, 50 Hertz is one of four transmission system operators, or TSOs, in Germany. They build, maintain, and operate extra high voltage power lines. They do not generate or sell electricity. 50 Hertz is responsible for Eastern Germany and Hamburg. Tennet covers a broad swath of the centre of the country from the North Sea all the way down to Alpine Bavaria. Transnet takes care of the majority of Baden-Württemberg, while Amprion covers the rest of that southwestern regional state, as well as Germany's heavily industrial west. The transmission systems also link the German network with those of its neighbours via cross-border interconnectors and underwater cables, enabling electricity to be traded across European borders. And that's how Germany works. This brings us to the end of another episode of Into Germany. If you think your company can help power the German green energy revolution, please contact us at Germany Trade and Invest. There's no bigger European market, and we can provide expert guidance on opportunities to set up shop here. What's more, as a government agency, all GTAI services come free of charge. Get in touch at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinion, suggestions, and questions. Please leave a comment in your favorite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. So, till next month, auf Wiederhören, and remember, Germany means business.